السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه، صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic that we have at hand today is relying upon Almighty Allah and adopting means. What is the balance between the two? First, let us understand that Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran has emphasized upon us to rely upon Almighty Allah. This is known in our terminology as tawakkul. Tawakkul means to rely upon Almighty Allah. The original word means tawkil, comes from the word tawkil. Tawkil means making someone your representative, someone whom you trust upon. That is what the original word tawakkul means. And Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers, they place their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Talaq in the 28th juz, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُهُ. He who relies upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is sufficient for him. So this is something that you and I, from the Quran, we have been told to rely upon Almighty Allah. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says about the phrase, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah Ta'ala is sufficient for us. Wa ni'mal wakil, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. This is a phrase that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used when he was thrown into the fire by Namrud. This is a phrase that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used when the disbelievers of the time, they told unto our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. The people have gathered around you to come and destroy you. And Allah Ta'ala increased the iman. وَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا وَقَالُوا. And He said, حَزْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient for me and He is the best disposer of all affairs. What is tawakkul and the benefits of tawakkul? Tawakkul is having complete trust in the plans of Allah. So you rely upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you put your trust in Allah ta'ala. One of the great scholars of the past had said, save yourself from worrying because someone else has taken control and has taken care of your affairs. Now, when you put your affairs into someone, there are different stages. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written there are three stages of putting your trust in someone. One stage is the lower stage, where you have confidence in someone and you rely upon that person in whom you have confidence in with regard to him giving you sound advice. So you put it to him. So he is the one that you put forward to him. So that in particular way is, like for example, a person consults with an alim and he reposes his trust in him with regard to the advice the alim will give him. Or in a legal matter, he puts his trust in a lawyer, that in this particular matter, I put my trust in you because I have confidence in you. So that is one of the aspects of putting trust in another person, one example, one level. The second level is the infant completely dependent upon the mother with regard to all the needs of the infant. That is the second level of putting your trust in someone. So that is the next level with regard to putting your trust in someone. And the highest form of tawakkul, the highest form, and this is used by the Sufia, كَمَيِّتٍ فِي يَدِ غَسَّالَةٍ, like the corpse in the hand of the person who is giving ghusl. Now that particular corpse has absolutely no say whatsoever with regard to the ghusl. It is completely at the mercy, at what the person who is giving me ghusl is doing. So ulama have written there are three stages of putting your trust. And the highest stage with regard to tawakkul is, now this is with regard to putting your trust to a human being's competence. Can you imagine the competence of Allah Ta'ala? So our reliance upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be within that three levels, or even the highest level, which is the third level. Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, in with regard to this, where you, and one of the benefits of tawakkul is you connect yourself with someone who is great. Someone who is, you know, you have full power in his, or you have full trust in his power, in his authority to do things. Right? So Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says a very amazing verse, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Rely upon the one who is always alive, and death will never overtake him. Rely upon the one who is ever alive. When we completed Bukhari Sharif, now at the end of the Bukhari Sharif, the person, our Ustad, gives you final parting advice. So my Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Wali Hasan Sahib, gave us this advice. Amongst the advices he gave us, he said, put your trust in someone whose power and authority is all-embracing, all-powerful, and it is perpetual. All other relationships that you put your trust in, they are not completely steadfast. Right? So you, for example, a wife put the trust, my husband will care for my needs. How many times you see Allah Ta'ala takes the husband away before the wife upon whom she's putting a trust? Sometimes the father and the son, sometimes the son and the father. May Allah Ta'ala never ever let us see the day of the difficulty of our children, but we see what actually happens. So all the relationship that you put trust in, they are not permanent. There is only one relationship that is permanent. Now Ustad told us, keep relationship with that particular being whose relationship and the trust that you have in him is permanent. And Allah puts it in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, and rely upon the one who is ever living, and mort and death will never overtake him. The second reason with regard to and the benefit of tawakkul is we attribute everything to the will and pleasure of Almighty Allah by fully trusting and relying upon Almighty Allah. What does that do? What is the benefit of that? You will never be depressed upon the challenges that come upon you. And the second thing is, you will never be proud and arrogant with regard to your achievements. So because you are relying upon Almighty Allah, you do not become depressed with regard to challenges, and you do not become proud and arrogant with regard to your achievements. So Allah Ta'ala, in the 28th surah of the Holy Quran, how Allah Ta'ala puts it, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَكُمْ. So you do not get regret over anything that befalls you, and you are not proud and arrogant with regard to your achievements. That comes because of tawakkul. Tawakkul does not make you depressed, and tawakkul does not make you proud and arrogant, because you're relying upon Almighty Allah, and you say whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُهُ. The third benefit with regard to tawakkul, which is also a very amazing benefit, is that we come to face the challenges of the time. So no one's life is always going to be a bed of roses. We have the good and the bad, we have the positive and the negative. So human being, Allah Ta'ala has taught us, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, عَجَبًا لِعَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the affairs of the mu'min and the believers. For everything is khair for him. If anything good befalls him, he makes shukr, he gets reward. Any difficulty, challenges come upon him, he perseveres. The word sabr we normally use as patience, and in Gujarati and Urdu, the word sabr is a very passive type of attribute. In Arabic, the word sabr is a much more positive attribute. It means persevere and you remain steadfast despite the challenges. So in that particular way, when you make tawakkul, you will be able to, you know, face the world with greater confidence. You face the world with greater confidence. And that is something that we see. See the difference between a person who is a believer in Allah and one who does not believe in Allah, how they face the challenges. And what greater example in today's time can we give than the people of Gaza? Brothers, we have to, wallahi al-azim, we have to thank the people of Gaza. They have taught us so many things. You know, look at how they are facing. Wallahi al-azim, the difficulties that have come upon him, if it was upon a mountain, perhaps a mountain would have been crumbled by now. But those people, because of their tawakkul, and because of their trust in Allah, they believe in Allah, look at how they are. Six-year-old children are telling their elders and their siblings who are elder than them, who are wounded, say la ilaha illallah before you die. Six-year-old children are telling their older siblings and telling their parents. May we be sacrificed upon them. We thank them because they have taught us new lessons. And forget us. I mean, non-Muslims are becoming Muslims by the patience and the perseverance of the people of Gaza. The only people who sometimes don't take lessons is with regard to them, have a holier-than-thou attitude, who are still criticizing them for to be fasiqs and fajirs. Aliyadu billah. But other people are taking lessons from them. Non-Muslims are becoming Muslims. We thank the mothers of that ummah that they gave us another way, that they send their children, they've given tarbiyat of their children. Such a tarbiyat that when their children become martyrs, you know, those particular mothers, they show happiness and joy that my child has become sacrificed in the path of Allah. Allah never put a difficulty like this upon us. Because I don't think we will be able to bear that. It is only upon them, and we thank them for giving us lessons with regard to tawakkul, with regard to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the benefit with regard to, you know, tawakkul. And we can go on making mention with regard to many of the benefits of tawakkul. For example, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is known with regard to his faith in Allah ta'ala. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa wa lam yakun minal mushrikeen. You know, when we were studying, my ustad used to say hanif. Hanif means sab ko chor char kar Allah ta'ala ka ho jana. Allah ta'ala uses the word hanif for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. My ustad said, do you know what is hanif? Hanif is the one who does not look at anyone besides Allah. He leaves everyone aside and he only casts his gaze upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is hanif. And Allah ta'ala uses the word hanif. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was being thrown into the fire, the angels became very perturbed, anxious. Ya Allah, your Khalil is going to be thrown into the fire. What must we do? Can we take that fire and throw it to the people who have burned and who have created that fire so that we can take revenge with regard to the people who intend harming him? So Allah Ta'ala said, go to him. If he asks you for assistance, help him. And they came to him and said, Ibrahim, if you allow us, we'll take this fire and we'll throw it to the people who have made this fire for you. And he said, Amma ilayka fala. Oh Ibrahim, what did he say? Oh, from you angels, I need no assistance. Allah is sufficient for me. I have dedicated myself and have resigned myself to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. Amma ilayka fala. Now, the very important, after understanding the benefits of tawakkul. What is tawakkul? Does it mean that we dismiss the needs for taking precaution and mitigating risk from harm? Is this the meaning of tawakkul? That we take no precaution, we take no means, we don't adopt no means. So a person came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's presence and he had a camel and he said, Ya Rasulullah, should I leave the camel and Allah will take care of it? Or should I tie the camel? And what did Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? This is a hadith in Tirmidhi. Oh my Sahabi, oh my companion, tie your camel first and then put your trust in Allah. Tie your camel first and then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us, وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Take all your precautions. Allah ta'ala tells us, consult in your affairs. This is first to our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given this command. Consult. And this is for us also, that when you have any particular matter, take the necessary means, consult the experts, consult people who are in the know. Right? This is a common thing. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that consult with people who are hakim, who are wise. You know, so then you will get their wisdom on your side. So consult. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ. After you have consulted. After you have consulted. Now you take a firm resolution to carry things out. And then you put your trust in Allah. Allah didn't say put your trust in Allah, then go and consult. What did he say? Consult. After you have consulted, resolve. This is what I'm going to do. And then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the balance. This is the right way. That we first put all, we take all our precautions. And that precautions, and that means, is not something that we do a simple effort that is close to mediocrity. The means that we adopt is the best of means. We don't take any shortcuts with regard to means. We take the best means and then we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we have to keep and have to understand. This is the balance. You first create and you adopt the means. And after you adopt the means, you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have become sick. You have become ill. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the companions, Ya Rasulullah, if everything is written by Allah, if we get sick, should we go to the doctor? Should we take medicine? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, go to the doctor. Go and take medicines. After you have taken medicines, then you put your trust in Allah. Because Allah is Musabbibul Asbab. Allah is the one who created Asbab. Allah is the one that is beyond Asbab. Allah is beyond means. So we put the means. After we take the medicine, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi. Allah is the one who cures. Allah is the one who is sufficient. Allah is the one who is enough. The medicine will not give you cure. Allah will give you cure, but He will give it via the medicine. The means are the gateway. Let me say it again. The means are the gateway through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you results. The means, now let me explain to you in a big way, in a very big example that everyone will understand. Each and every one of us will understand this example. Now you say, no, I only rely upon Almighty Allah. I don't rely on means. And I just say, I'm saying, for example, someone says that. We challenge that person. Go and say, oh Allah, make whole night tahajjud. Make whole night tahajjud. Ya Allah, give me pious children. Ya Allah, give me pious children. Ya Allah, give me pious children. You don't get married. Where is Allah going to give you pious children from? From your stomach. You can make the dua whole night in tahajjud. Allah will not give you the child until you get married. And you become intimate. Now look at the balance. After getting married, you become intimate. But then too, Allah does not guarantee. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah creates whatever He wants. He gives children to whomsoever He wants. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. He gives some children, female children. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. And He gives some people, male children. Oh, يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكُرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. He gives some people twins and He keeps people some people barren. Now what is the balance? The balance is you have to get married, be intimate for you to get children. And after getting married, being intimate, you say, Allah, you grant us pious children. You are the one who gives. This is the balance, my dear respected brothers. Some people don't realize this. And this is the proper balance. And let me say something. And I want people to bear this in mind. Islamic teachings on relying upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islamic teachings on tawakkul. It is a cure for anxiety and pessimism. It's a beautiful way of strengthening our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul is a beautiful way of strengthening our faith in Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُهُ. Whoever relies upon Almighty Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala complains, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. O human being, am I not sufficient for you? But it is not an excuse for inactivity and idleness. Let me repeat the stage again. Tawakkul and relying upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a cure for anxiety and pessimism and to increase our faith in Allah, but is not an excuse for idleness and inactivity. Where have we got this that we must become inactive and not rely upon means? And therefore, let me say one or two things with regard to pointers, with regard to where we are supposed to use our means. Firstly, individually, everyone must strive to become better human beings, to become better believers. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran uses the word ihsan. Ihsan means perfection. Inna Allaha, Allah Ta'ala loves perfection in everything. Inna Allah kataba al-ihsan. Ihsan is a Muslim's responsibility to obtain perfections, excellence. And that is ihsan. Ihsan in your ibadat. Ihsan in your relationship with people. That is how you have, everyone must be. It's compulsory for you to strive to become a better human being, to become a better believer. What is ihsan? One day Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "Mal ihsan?" "An ta'buda Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak." You worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah. And if you can't do that, at least visualize Allah is seeing you. Ihsan and excellence in your ibadat, bring about that. Ihsan in your relationship with people. Try and bring ihsan in your relationship with people. My dear respected brothers, today, wallahi al-azim, I'm a firm believer of this. I'm a firm believer of this, that you and I have got a deen, have got values, have got teachings that humanity is craving for. And we are sitting with that particular values and we're not showing people that values. I was reading recently, and last night I made mention of it, Qari Siddiq Banwi, one of our great scholars. He came twice to South Africa, once or twice he came to South Africa. Everyone regards him as a saintly person. He lives in a very rural area. He lived in a very rural area in India. And one day he used to go and buy goods from the Hindu shopkeeper, a non-Muslim. The Hindu shopkeeper passed away, so he went to go and sit by the family. So there he had, the Hindu shopkeeper had some daughters. So the daughter said, Bawa, they used to call him out of respect, Bawa. You know, our father is gone. Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to get us married? Because marriage of daughters is unfortunately a burden in India. Because they have to pay the mahar, the dowry. So they call it jahaz. So Qari Siddiq Sahib said, I will take care of you. I will get you married. He got those non-Muslim daughters married. Maulana Abdullah Kapudri Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of it in his kitab. You know, Muslim businessmen, I plead with you that you increase your business, not only for the sake of your own comfort, but for the sake of helping other people. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah Ta'ala says with regard to Muslim people who are wealthy, who have businesses. Allah Ta'ala says with regard to Qarun, when Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the wealth of Qarun, Allah Ta'ala puts the criteria and the objectives of people who have wealth. Seek with your wealth akhirat. Who seeks akhirat with our wealth in today's time? Everyone today, the moment he got the car, I'm not saying he's wrong. I mean, Nabi Karim Sallallahu had said, Inna Allah Jameel, Yuhibbul Jamal, Allah is beautiful, Allah loves beauty. If you got something, Allah has given you wealth, wear good clothes, buy a nice car, stay in a comfortable accommodation, nothing wrong, it's not haram. But is that the only reason why you earn wealth? Is that the only reason? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ. The disbelievers also enjoy themselves in this world. They eat the way animals eat. وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. And the fire of Jahannam is their abode. When are you going to use your wealth and your influence that come with business to show people the beauty of Islam? Throughout history, Malaysia and Indonesia, today Indonesia is the biggest in terms of population Muslim country in the world. They didn't come Muslim by Muslims conquering that land. They became Muslim by Muslim traders who showed people the beauty of Islamic teachings. Where are those people? When I'm saying of tawakkul, tawakkul is relying upon Allah. What are we doing with regard to the means? And our means must not be mediocre. Our means must be equivalent to the vision that you and I share. Islam has taught us that we are people who have vision. Islam has taught us that we are people who are supposed to leave behind a legacy. What vision do we have in today's time? Is our only vision that we're becoming so insular, we are creating barriers all the time. We're becoming so insular. We are not interacting with the people. We are not showing people the beauty of Islam. We have become creating barriers to such an extent that we are now creating barriers, forget from other communities, we are creating barriers within our own community. Because that is the example of being insular. Once you become insular, forget other people, you're going to create barriers within your own self. And this is creating havoc in our communities and societies. When you become broad, and you become accommodating, and you go and become more, and you worry about the community, then you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in your efforts. Habib Najjar was an ordinary carpenter. An ordinary carpenter. Allah makes mention of him in Surah Yasin. Every day we read Surah Yasin, we read about Habib Najjar. Why did Allah make mention of him? Because he told his people, come and do the righteous thing. Do righteous deeds. They killed him. They martyred him. And when he's in Jannah, قِيلَ الْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Go into Jannah. In Jannah he said, يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. Oh Allah, if only you can show my people what you have given me for bringing iman and being righteous. Oh Allah, give them hidayat. Do we have the same feeling for the people we come into contact with on a daily basis in our country? My dear respected brothers, this is what Islam calls us with regard to tawakkul. Tawakkul doesn't mean idleness and inactivity. Leave a legacy. Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْقَتَى عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ. When a person dies, his amal comes to an end, besides three things. Sadaqah jariyah. Leave behind a charity that people will benefit from after you have died. What is your life that you have only made? I'm not saying ibadah is not important. You made ibadah and it's finished. Leave behind a charity that people will benefit from after you have passed on. What legacy are you going to leave behind? Or, you know, knowledge which is beneficial, or virtual descendants who will make dua for you. Just give you an example and I will conclude with this. We are living in this country, right? Many of us, we are bound to live in this country. How many people can migrate? 2% people can migrate? Despite the circumstances, 98% are going to stay in this country. It's our duty to make ourselves indispensable to the welfare of this country. That is our responsibility. What are we doing with regard to making ourselves indispensable to the welfare of this country? I will just give you an example. Last week, someone came and see me, and he said, our other community people who are our detractors, people who we know they are opposed to us, and they are also making efforts with regard to the gains done by Muslims in this country. They are identifying individuals within the local community, taking them abroad to indoctrinate them. Taking them abroad. Those same people might come back in 10 years and they will become policy makers. They will become decision makers. What decisions they are going to make? And I know that the way our community think, I know. You know what we will say? Conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. You have not done your work. They are doing it. Why are you not doing it? Why are you not identifying talent? Why are you not identifying people within the community? Why are you not engaging? We have made ourselves so isolated, forget engaging, that we have created barriers amongst ourselves, that even the barriers, as I said, have now come, that our barriers in our own community we have created. What are we going to do? Identify talent. This is a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let me give you an example and conclude. You know, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He looked at him and he identified this man has got talent. Right? But he was a non-Muslim. Not only a non-Muslim, he caused the setback in the Battle of Uhud, which led to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becoming wounded. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle becoming martyred. 70 Sahaba becoming martyred. Right? He saw that. But he realized that this man has got talent. And then he came to Makkah at the time of, you know, Umratul Qadha. And he asked Walid. Walid was a brother of Khalid. Walid, where is your brother Khalid? Where is your brother? He said, Ya Rasulullah, he hates you so much that he couldn't even bear you being in Makkah while you were here. He couldn't bear being here. He left the city, he's gone out. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Walid, Walid, tell your brother, an intelligent person like him cannot remain oblivious of the beauty of Islam. Tell him to come to us. Tell him to come to us. We will give him purpose to his talents. Walid came and Khalid bin Walid came. Walid told him, Khalid, where are you running away from Muhammad? He was thinking about you and he was praising you. Khalid bin Walid became Saifullah because of this attitude, not because of being inactive. Brothers, I plead with you, let us leave the labels. This is something that we need to do, otherwise our whole existence in this country, that what we have built, can become jeopardized because of our wrong understanding of tawakkul. And I've tried in this short period to tell us the benefits of tawakkul and what it means. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding.